Work today, get paid tomorrow, only from McDonald's. They're hiring right now during recruitment days this Friday, November 14th from 9 to 5 and Saturday from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Stop by McDonald's on Coffeen Avenue. Part-time and full-time positions available. Benefits include health insurance, IRA contributions, paid vacation, flexible scheduling, food discounts, tuition assistance, and more. And don't forget, work today, get paid tomorrow. Get to McDonald's, apply in person during recruitment days. This Friday, November 14th, 9 to 5, Saturday, 7 to 1 at McDonald's on Coffeen Avenue.
Winter is rolling in and your car looks nervous. It still has some summer grime in the fender and in the carpet from last year. Show your car some love and take it to Craig at Sheridan Auto Spa. His professional detailing shields your paint, upholstery, and finish from winter's toughest elements. While treating your car, treat someone else too. A gift certificate from Sheridan Auto Spa makes a perfect gift. Plus, get 15% off any detail service completed through December. Book now at Sheridan. SheridanAutoSpa.com. Sheridan Auto Spa, where every detail counts.
It's Thursday, and SheridanMedia.com's Fall Online Marketplace Hot Buys are open today only. One day pop-up shop featuring local retailers, gifts, gear, goodies with starting bids at half price. Bidding closes at 8 p.m. tonight. Go to SheridanMedia.com. Click on that Fall Marketplace Hot Buys banner every Thursday. SheridanMedia.com's Fall Online Marketplace. Shop smart. Shop local. Shop today till 8 p.m.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Good morning, Thursday, November 13th. From Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we're joined by Sheridan City Councilor Terry Weitzel and Parks Director Steve Gage. Good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning, Floyd.
Now, let's talk about it's that time of year. I know a lot of people have gone outside, probably blown out the water lines in the yard. Steve, could you tell us the winterization process and working within the Sheridan Parks right now?
Yeah, I think a lot of folks think, you know, that process to changing over winter happens, you know,
overnight.
The last couple weeks, you know, we're ready. Yeah. But honestly, we probably start that process in August. We're always a season ahead. You know, we get to the end of August and our brains, unfortunately, we don't want to think about snow, but that's where we go.
Yeah.
So we start getting things ready. Thinking about, you know, what do we have for summer equipment? How are we going to switch that over to winter equipment? What are the supplies we need? You know, all those little things like blades on tractors. And so all that inventory has got to get ordered early, so that you're ready. So it starts taking place really early for us.
Yeah.
And then the month of October for us is primarily, irrigation blowout season. And it takes us roughly a month to get that done.
Wow.
And so we've got, you know, roughly 60 systems all over the city, and they range from, you know, something you could blow out in 20 minutes, a little green space on a corner somewhere that's owned by the city, up to like the city cemetery, which takes about 4 days.
Wow.
To blow that system out. And you think of things like the golf course and all those big systems that are out there. So it's, they go hard.
Yeah.
For about 3.5-4 weeks. And that really takes up, you know, the month of October for us.
And now
we're just sort of in a holding pattern a little bit because the snow is coming. But this is also for us, it's project season.
Project season.
We call that every year if we get good weather, like Terry and I were just talking about this morning, because the summer's so busy, we don't have time to do our projects. You know, it's daily maintenance, it's taking care of parks, it's all the things that we do.
Field time.
And once we hit November, once we get all those systems blown out and sort of everything's a little bit winterized, we move into what we call project season. And for us, that's 1st of November to whenever the ground freezes, you know, whenever we can put a post in the ground still. And so we'll do things like building fences and wayfinding signage and projects out at the golf course, reclamation, anything that we can do before the ground freezes up, put in a swing set that's needed in a park. We just don't have that time in the summer. So this is our time, these 6 or 7 weeks right now.
That's really
And we enjoy it. Yeah.
it's just interesting to me that this is the time to get all of that done.
Yeah. Most people are thinking winter.
Yeah.
But no, this is project season for us. If so, we can hold out, even if that, even if it gets a little wintery, if that ground's not frozen, we can still get a lot of work done. You
know? Get out there with the post hole digger and get to work.
Yep. You've got it.
Now, when it comes to folks, residents here, what should they keep in mind as we do move into those winter operations? Because people don't stop visiting parks. They're still going out there.
They're still going. They're visiting very regularly. And as we know, our trail systems are vibrant and active. So we just want folks to be aware of the ice during the winter months. We can clear. But, you know, you're going to have a lot of places like underpasses that you'll go down to. So anywhere where you've got an incline, a ramp, a transition on a sidewalk, we ask that folks be careful. We try to do what we can do, but we can't hit every square foot. You know, we've got, 20 miles of pathway out there that we've got to take care of. And we do a really good job, but there's a lot going on. So our guys go out. They do all the pathway work in the winter. And we've got about 4 miles of city sidewalks that are owned by, you know, adjacent to city properties that we take care of. 32 bridges. I don't know if people know that.
Holy God, there's 32 bridges in this town. You know,
besides head bridges, vehicle bridges, yeah. There's 32 bridges in some capacity that go over Goose Creek.
Wow.
In town. Those are all cleared by the Parks Department every snowfall. Things just you don't really think about. But those are our priorities. We prioritize the pathway. Especially in areas where there are schools, you know, school zones, areas where folks are trying to get to work. We try to prioritize that. Kendrick Park, places that get a lot of high use. Those are our priority areas. And obviously downtown, you know, government has to work. You got to get that open for government. We have to get our facilities open. Those are our priority areas. And then everything after that's priority too. But with the staff that we have, and the equipment that we have, that we're grateful to have all those resources, we usually get it done day one in a snowstorm, you know, or an event, you know, unless it's just a massive storm or something, but we can usually get the whole city cleared in day one.
That's so, pretty amazing, yeah. Actually. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of work. I think about just shoveling my sidewalk and I'm already wiping sweat from my brow. Steve, on that, one thing I would like to ask, and maybe this is a little more personal that I want to ask, because it is for personal reasons. Is there a salt or a coverage that you use to get rid of ice that doesn't hurt my grass?
I think there are some things now. We've got some stuff that that we use with the streets department that works pretty good. I don't know what that is for the grass.
Yeah.
I know that they make some primarily. They're more expensive.
Yeah.
Some of those products. Probably will pay double for the cost of those products.
You're saving that grass.
Yeah, well, not just that, just your concrete too.
Oh, that's true.
It's hard on concrete, the salt-based stuff is.
Yeah, especially for concrete. Yeah.
And now, Councilman, we talked about saving the downtown sidewalks.
Mm-hmm.
They just laid them. And this is just a question that I'm throwing out there. Should folks sand and not salt the sidewalks this year as well, or is that
definitely what we're requesting business owners to do downtown is to avoid using salt or chemical de-icers on the sidewalks. Instead, using because it just significantly damages the concrete, just like I had mentioned with your own driveway. Instead, use sand to minimize, you know, the slipping hazards. The other thing too is getting out ahead of time when it snows, and clearing the snow off so that when it does melt, it doesn't become ice. Then later on, when it freezes again,
that's a great point too. That's one thing that I took from the city back to the house this last winter. I went down, bought myself a big old bag of sand, and started using that as opposed to the salt. And it actually did work really well.
Mm-hmm.
There's just one place in our back porch. It's got that dip.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that's what we got to use to get the dogs out every day. So I didn't want her slipping. So walk out there and just throw a big cup full of sand down. It worked out just fine. Now, when we talk about updates to the projects that are taking place, Steve, what would you say is kind of your priority project right now as your team's heading out there with the post hole diggers?
Some of our projects are, we're putting some fencing out at the golf course. At this point. Just last week, we finished a wayfinding project that we've been working on for quite a long time. And we finally got the frames put together and the city pathway maps.
Oh, great.
Parks and pathways maps. So you'll be seeing those around town. We've got them in different quadrants in parks around town. We've got one at South Park, one at Malcolm Wallop, one at Mill Park downtown, and one at Blacktooth Park. And you'll see them. They're pretty striking. They're very nice. They're going to be good for the public, you know, to give them some direction around the pathway system. So,
and it kind of lays it out for us.
And it lays it out. Yeah, so our guys have been putting those in the ground the last week or 10 days. So those are a couple of our projects. We do have a few pieces of playground equipment that I was talking about that we can still get in the ground. That'll be set for kids for next spring. So these are part of those projects that we're talking about. But we just keep looking out a week, keep looking at the weather and hoping we can get one more week.
Keep your fingers crossed.
Just to do another project. Yeah.
So you know, a lot of people don't realize the work that has to go into some of these signs. These signs are made to last through some of the worst weather conditions Wyoming has to offer. So these aren't just cheap little things that we put out there, are they?
I mean,
there's a lot of work in these.
Yeah, there was a lot of iron work that happened with those and powder coating. And these are some nice structures. These will last long after I'm here, I'm sure. And, you know, we'll have to trade out the wayfinding maps on them from time to time, every few years as the system, you know, gets larger. But the actual frame itself should be there for many years.
Do you think when people think about the trail system within town, do you think they realize how much there actually is?
I don't think they do. You know,
whenever I talk to someone, I tell them that we have 20 plus miles of pathways. They're just blown away by that number.
Yeah.
Just blown away. They're like, you're kidding me. And I said, no, it's huge.
Yeah. I was with one of our city engineers yesterday and I was showing him the new signs and he said, gosh, you know, I've worked on sections of this pathway engineering this stuff. And he said, but to look at it on a map. He says, I really haven't seen that for a few years.
You really grasp the scope.
Yeah. And there's a lot there. And it's pretty expansive. And I think probably for the next couple of years, we'll probably slow down on the pathways a little bit. We've had a lot of momentum for the past 15 years since I've been with the Parks Department. It was build.
Yeah.
And now we have to start, you know, thinking about maintaining. How are we going to maintain it? Because the original sections are now starting to age. So we'll need to put some resources into those now coming up. So, but I think we're at a good place.
That's fantastic. Really, and Councilman, you and I have talked about this extensively. These pathways really attract people.
Oh yeah,
to town.
I've talked to you about this before. And another time that we've been together, ran into a couple summers ago. It was right after the flooding in Yellowstone National Park, and when the park was all closed down. So they chose to spend 2 days in Sheridan, and they were cyclists. They discovered our pathways, and I was talking to them after they had been here for a day or so, and they said, it's just incredible. So they were taking pictures of our pathways because they wanted to take them back home and talk to their mayor about having pathways in their community.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've got a reporter here, Mr. Ron Richter. I think he's out there on his bike every single night. It's something that he just loves to do. And, he knows this pathway really well.
Yes,
he's out there quite a bit. He's telling me about places I haven't even put my eyes on before. Now, switch of gears on you. Safety measures planned for the 30th annual Christmas stroll on November 28th. Everyone's getting excited about that. It's time we gear up. Head out to the stores and start buying for Christmas. What's Parks going to do?
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can just be part of the event. We've got some, you know, we've done some Christmas lighting on Grinnell Plaza. I don't know if you've seen that. We've got lights that are on the honey locust trees along Grinnell Plaza. And we've had them up for about a year now.
Just leave them up.
And we just leave them up now and we can change them for events. You know, we had them for the Greenlight Veterans event that's been happening the last week. And now they're going to transition them over and do a little bit of harvest colors going into Thanksgiving. And then obviously they'll be there for the holidays. So we switch them around. We can play with them remotely and change those lights. But the Christmas stroll, November 28th, that's the Friday after Thanksgiving. So few safety measures. Sheridan Police Department will ensure the safety of all attendees. Main Street and Grinnell Plaza will be closed off to vehicular traffic from 4 to 8. Patrol cars will be stationed at both ends of the closure area to maintain visibility and enhance safety. And officers will also be on foot patrol throughout the event. So the support for the local businesses, Christmas Stroll is a wonderful opportunity for residents to shop local, support our community small business. And as we know, shopping locally contributes to our economic growth and keeping our downtown vibrant. So yeah, we're looking forward to seeing folks out and see what the weather's like.
Yeah.
Is it going to feel like the holidays, or, you know, or is it going to be 70 degrees? But
Some years I think, gosh, it's just going to be too cold and wet to go. Other years I think, well, geez, is it going to feel like a winter wonderland or not out there this year? Not that I'm complaining. I'm not a snow guy. I'm trying to be. I'm working on my 45th year trying to be. We'll get there. Councilman, what city closures should residents expect November 27th, 28th?
Okay, so City Hall and the landfill will be closed on Thursday, the 27th, and Friday, the 28th. In observant of the Thanksgiving holiday, recycling center will be closed on Thursday only. Trash collection, if your collection falls on Thursday, November 27th, your trash and recycling will be collected on Friday, November 28th. And so that's really it.
All right. We kind of forgot that our trash wasn't going to get picked up on Veterans Day. So I just left it out there. And sure enough, they came by and made sure that we've taken care of. On that, I'm going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more of the City of Sheridan right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Community Cupboard.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
I'm here with Candace Kindred from Teriyaki Madness. Candace, you brought the madness to Sheridan.
Tommy, hi. We sure did. I met my husband, Matt, right here in Sheridan, and we knew this was the perfect place to bring the madness. Teriyaki Madness, that is.
I hear it's been crazy busy.
Oh, yeah. The whole county showed up our first week. We've had some long lines, but everyone's been awesome and so patient while we get in the groove.
Well, come see what all the madness is about. Teriyaki Madness on Coffeen Avenue, right behind Scooter's Coffee.
This holiday season, give a gift that shines with meaning from Legacy Diamond and Gems, family owned and operated since 1964. Legacy is Sheridan's trusted jeweler for generations and Sheridan's only GIA graduate gemologist and one of only three in the state. With their creative team of bench jewelers on site, you'll find true craftsmanship and service that lasts a lifetime. Legacy Diamond and Gems, where your story becomes part of ours. Doug, every year I give terrible Christmas gifts. Last year I gave my brother World's Okayest Brother Mug.
Wow, you really need to redeem yourself. Well, the Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop can help with detailing gift certificates. It's the gift that says, I love you, and your car smells weird.
Okay, great. I'll skip the embroidered socks and sweaters then.
Yeah, Bob, good idea. Give the gift of clean with Waring Chevrolet Detail Gift Certificates. Stop by at 409 Broadway in Sheridan.
Get ready to shop local with your chance to win big with the Hometown Shopping Sweepstakes. ERA Carroll Realty has teamed up with Range and many local retailers to celebrate the season by giving the gift of shopping local. Each lucky winner will receive $1,000 in local merchant gift cards and chamber bucks. Enter today on the contest page at SheridanMedia.com. ERA Carroll Realty, Range, Sheridan Media, Hometown Shopping Sweepstakes at SheridanMedia.com.
Go Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're speaking with Sheridan City Councilor Terry Weitzel and Parks Director Steve Gage. Now, we were just talking about the city is getting ready to experience its winter and the work that goes in to making sure that our parks are set and ready to go. And not only that, but making sure that you can still get to those parks and enjoy them during the winter season. Well, how about driving? The city's snow emergency alert system. Counselor, how does this operate? What is this thing and how can folks get a hold of it?
Well, it's called Everbridge, and there's an app that you can download on your phone. All you have to do is just put in Everbridge when you're searching for an app, download it, and anyway, it'll then tell you what you need to do. And what it does is during a snow emergency, it will alert you as to you know what's coming up here, what we're going to be doing as far as snow removal, et cetera. And what it also does is it advises citizens to avoid unnecessary travel within the city limits if it's going to be a bad storm. It enforces a no parking rule on designated snow routes so that our plows can get through and get the snow removed in an efficient way. And then it prioritizes the routes. Snow removal will concentrate on primary streets and our arterials, essential to police, fire, and EMS access. Secondary and residential routes will have limited or delayed plowing, and some steep roads potentially closed for safety during severe conditions.
Has anybody come up and spoken to you as their representative about the Everbridge app, about the even and odd parking? From what you kind of hear, are residents pleased with this? Is it working out well?
I haven't had too many people talk to me about it. I think mostly the residents still are learning that there are odd and even where you need to be parking. And, you know, with some more city efforts, I think that we're slowly getting residents to understand. And I know that, you know, the city does alert people, you know, that, hey, we need to have this, need to be on the other side of the road. I mean, and they're going through those efforts, but it's going to take some time for everyone to get used to this because it's very new.
Mm-hmm. I figured it would probably take, you know, maybe even 3-4 years
yes.
to really kind of get into the routine of it. Now, folks, if you're looking for that Everbridge app, it is on just about every app platform that I've looked at myself. Now, we're discussing the city's winter preparation. We've talked about the Everbridge app, and there are parking time limits outlined in Municipal Code 1621. What are the issues that the city's going through right now? Because this is something that even the PD brought up last time they were
right.
on. So I would think something's occurring. Is there an issue?
Yeah, there is. So no person shall park, store, or leave standing or permit to be parked, stored, or left standing upon the public streets or alleyways in the city any vehicle or continuous period of longer than 48 hours except for fully operative motor vehicles belonging to the persons whose property is adjacent to where they're parking. So in other words, if the vehicle does not start and can't be moved, you have 48 hours. I mean, that's it. And it needs to be removed. And a lot of people don't realize that. And that also includes your camper trailers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and it's becoming a problem in that your neighbors don't like it so much.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing. I mean, that's why we started talking about this at a city council meeting here recently. And so your trailers, for example, that are not attached to fully operative motor vehicles cannot be parked for more than 48 hours. Well, any of us know you just go down any street and there's camper trailers that are parked there or just trailers that are parked there with snowmobiles on them. and they're parked there for over 48 hours. They're not attached to a vehicle. That's in violation of this ordinance.
They're essentially using that as like, well, I'm just going to store them there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, kind of unsightly, or was there a bigger issue?
No, just unsightly. I mean, there's really not a bigger issue.
Now, if folks have any questions regarding this particular municipal code or any others, is there some place they can call, maybe field some questions?
Yeah, I mean, they can just call our general phone number, you know, which is, what is it? Anyway, our people will direct you to the right person to talk to. Actually, if it's on the street, that would be the police department. Actually, you could call them directly. But then the other issue is driving or parking on lawns, fields, or playgrounds. So it is unlawful for any person to drive or otherwise propel or to park any motor vehicle over, across, or upon any public or private park, ground, lawn, property. And I'm just reading this long area, field, yard, schoolyard, playground, ball field, recreation area, designated pedestrian pathway, flower bed, garden, or any other private or public space within the city without express permission or express invitation of the governing body. And then the other thing, too, that's interesting, and we have this problem all the time. So boulevards, that would be a grassy area, or it could be a an area that has gravel on it that's between the sidewalk and the street, and people use that as a driveway. Well, that's actually public area. I mean, wow. A boulevard is owned by the city.
Yeah.
And it's really not supposed to be allowed to do that. I know that people do that all the time, but and they park there and they use it as their driveway. But it's just something that's been brought up. And if it's in that case, that goes on to our a different department. It's not with the police. If it's not on the street, it's not the police department. But it would be our code enforcement department that would take care of the stuff that is, you know, off of the street.
Steve, how often do you see people do that? I mean, working in parks, have you ever been walking through one of the city parks and you see those tire marks and you're like, what the heck is going on?
Oh, what, sure.
What's
yeah.
happening?
Yeah, we have some folks, and we have folks that'll park in parking lots. I've seen people overnight in parks. We don't see it as much as we used to.
Closer.
You know, 15 years ago, you know, I think when I first started, we used to see more of that. But I think folks are more respectful now. And,
yeah.
And we don't see as much of that as we used to.
You remember when you and I were kids, there were dirt. I felt like there were dirt bikes everywhere.
Yes.
Like, I don't know where the trend went or if it fell off or what. But when I was a kid, there was a dirt bike in every bar ditch
right.
in Wyoming somewhere, yeah. You know. They were screaming around all the time. I don't know what eventually kind of got the hold on that. But yeah. I'm running out of time with you. So one thing that I do want to discuss with you real quick, Councilman, is submitting GPET applications. Is it the season to submit your app?
It's getting close to that season. So anyway, how it works is it's formerly known, we call it GPET now, but it's formerly known as the 1 cent sales tax or the general purpose excise tax. That's what we call it now. And the money's raised for GPET. Monies raised for GPET goes to pay for projects that may not otherwise be funded by the council. The use of these funds are restricted to specific categories identified by the city, such as infrastructure improvements, streets and road maintenance, public safety, parks and recreation, and other services. The money is also used to help fund the many local nonprofits in Sheridan. For example, the Hub on Smith.
Mm-hmm.
They receive some of these. That's just one of many that we give money to. Applications are accepted October 2nd through November 30th. So, you know, it's we're getting close to the deadline, right? Yeah. And the applications will be available on the city website beginning October 1st. So they've been on there for a while. The review period for the mayor and council to consider funding levels will be December 1st through March 31st. There are changes to the overall process and reporting requirements. Everything is explained in the application materials at the city website. Anyway, things to consider only upon, they're only open on to 501c3 and government agencies. Any awards are conditional upon the availability of funds. And if you have any questions, just contact our clerk's office, city clerk's office.
What do those discussions look like?
Generally, what we do is the mayor makes recommendations, and a lot of times it's based on the previous year and what funds we have. And then council, we just kind of look at it and give our suggestions to the mayor. And we try to do that kind of ahead of time so that when we do meet in a study session, it's a little bit more refined by that time.
Yeah.
But that's how the process goes. And we just make, you know, priorities, you know, needs. Last year, we accepted one new entity. It was someone that I felt strongly about, and that would be the Black Mountain Nordic Club. They do a lot of stuff for our community. They groom trails in South Park. They groom trails really all over the county. But that was something I felt strongly about. You know, the mayor wasn't really aware of what they did.
Yeah.
And so I brought that forward, and as did a couple other council members. And so we ended up, you know, funding them when at first the mayor wasn't going to fund them at all.
And a lot of that is literally just because, well, I don't know what these guys mm-hmm. do. I mean, yeah. These people are pretty self-driven.
A little bit of education.
Yeah, know. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Now, well, gentlemen, I want to thank you so much for coming in this morning. I greatly appreciate Steve coming in every year and talking to me. It's always fascinating to learn the processes, especially when someone looks at the parks and they think, well, it's just there. Well, there's a lot of work that makes sure that it's just there for you and the kids. And the dogs. So thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Absolutely appreciate you guys. All right. When we return, we're going to speak with the director of the Natural History Museum of Wyoming, Tom Hubert. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
You know what makes a big difference in life?
I know, making smart money choices.
That's why First Federal Bank and Trust partners with local schools and organizations to teach financial basics.
They make it fun and interactive with free materials, bank tours, and real conversations.
And we tailor everything to fit your classroom or group.
I want to get started right now.
You can learn more at efirstfederal.bank. First Federal Bank and Trust.
Investing in strong financial futures.
What would Christmas be without tradition? Without the comfort of home, the joy of family, and smiles of children? Open your heart this year during the 26th annual Christmas Wish Campaign. Due to temporary circumstances beyond their control, some families, friends, and neighbors will struggle to make ends meet, let alone have a Merry Christmas. It's tradition for the Christmas Wish Campaign to bring the spirit of the holidays to those individuals. In the past, we've assisted several people with everything from bills and food to clothing, Christmas trees, and toys for children.
Please send your Christmas wish nominations and donations to P.O. Box 5086 Sheridan or submit them online at SheridanMedia.com as soon as possible. All wishes must be submitted in writing and must include your name and phone number. There are follow-up questions our committee will need to have answered to properly assess each wish. Wishes must be received by Friday, November 28th.
Partners for this year's Christmas Wish Campaign are First Federal Bank and Trust, Heartland Kubota, Advanced Auto Body, Wyoming Corporate Office, Odell Construction, and A-Line Roofing and Exteriors.
Shan Foster, all-around canine training and country pet in. You love it when a dog surprises you in a training, and that happened recently when you were training a service dog for someone with MS.
Yeah, a challenge. So I watched the dog and the owner work together and just stayed out of it. What I saw was amazing. Goosebumps getting, just thinking about it. She was adopting behavior that would make them more productive, something I didn't teach her. She just offset things that I taught her to what she felt were necessary to accomplish whatever tasks they were performing. Pretty cool.
Yeah, so even for as many years as you've been doing this, you can still get surprised.
Oh, I know, and that's one of the things about dog training that I love. It's magical. Two beings that don't look anything alike, and they're forming this union. It's the best feeling. It really is. It's hard to describe, but people in their lives with their dogs in different capacities have probably seen little bits and pieces of this as well, and I just get to see it, I think, more often.
Learn more at countrypetin.com.
This is the Captain with Captain Clean. Are you noticing unnecessary dust in your home? If so, your ductwork may be telling you it's time for a cleaning. HVAC and furnace cleaning will undoubtedly optimize your furnace's performance and keep your indoor air quality free of unnecessary dust and allergens. If you like clean air and lower energy bills, call our experts at Captain Clean today and schedule your next HVAC cleaning. Captain Clean, affordable choices for healthy living.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, we're joined by the director of the Natural History Museum of Wyoming, Mr. Tom Hebert. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Floyd. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. Now, we wanted to squeeze you in here. We wanted to make sure that we got this talked about because the Night of Discovery Gala, it's going to be on December 1st.
Yes, sir.
So it's right around the corner. This is going to be at the Ramada Convention Center. What can folks expect?
It's going to be a great night of just fun, food, entertainment, and most importantly, fundraising.
Yeah.
I mean, we're a nonprofit museum, heavily involved in the community. We took out over 300 kids last year on free dinosaur digs. We took out 20 vets. We have 60 military veterans waiting to go on our decompression dinosaur digs. We got brand new exhibits coming to town. The museum is growing like a weed right now. And that's really what the focus of the event is to, one, bring community awareness that we're here. We're a resource. Bring your kids, bring your family, come visit us. And then second of all is really to introduce, our programming and what is available for kids in the community to come and participate at the museum, what we're doing actively with the military vets that are struggling with PTSD and getting them out for mental health benefits of digging dinosaurs, and just a fun night where there's going to be food, open bar. We're doing an exciting event called a bourbon pull. Where if you enter the bourbon pool, you're guaranteed to go home with a bottle of bourbon. And these are high end bottles. I mean, they're averaging about $180 in retail value right now. And then we're having our live auction, silent auction. I can't shout out to Sheridan enough in this community that when we showed up and asked for help with our event, the business owners around here are like, here, I got this for the silent auction. Here, I got this for the silent. I mean, we've got $1,300 necklaces for jewelry. We've got, just unbelievable stuff for the silent auction. Limited edition, hand-selected bourbon bottles you can't even buy. The only way you get them is the company does this for nonprofits. The only way you can get is to go to a nonprofit event and win one.
Wow.
And then, our live auction, super exciting. We just had this happen yesterday where we have an anonymous donor that's willing to match up to $10,000, dollar for dollar, for every dollar we raise for our live auction.
Oh, that is great.
So we need people to show up and bid because your bid now is worth $2. So every dollar you bid on a live auction item, know we're getting $2 for that bid, up to $10,000. And we have a private trip to Maui on a condo on the beach with airfare included. We got two brand new dinosaur exhibits. Actually, we have three, but two are going to be unveiled that night at the gala, and we're auctioning off the rights to name them. So you could come, Floyd, and forever have a dinosaur amazing. Named Floyd for eternity. So we have some really unique stuff. We have some limited edition. We have a patriotic set of Four Roses bourbon with red, white, and blue wax seals. That's a patriotic set hand-selected by Four Roses that's going up to auction. We're going to be adding another additional trip. That'll be a secret, but I will tell you this. It will involve a really cool horse race.
Wow. Oh, really big one, quite possibly? Really?
I would probably argue the largest.
Ah, okay. All right. Now, let's talk about the Natural History Museum of Wyoming. Where exactly are you located? What are your hours for the folks who don't know? Because I think, when it comes to dinosaurs, holy cow, can you find a kid who doesn't love dinosaurs? I don't think you can.
I'm hard pressed to find anybody who doesn't like dinosaurs, even adults, because, you know, like me, I'm almost 50 years old and I'm still a 12-year-old when I see these things, and I've been doing this for 15 years. It's still that fascination and this mythology of like,
yeah,
wait a minute, this was real. This isn't just a story in a textbook or pictures I see on TV. It isn't a movie. Because our museum is unique in the fact that our displays, we have a lot of stuff that's out in the open. And our rules are, if it's not behind glass or behind ropes, you can touch it, you can feel it, you can pick it up. So we're one of the unique places anywhere that you can actually come in and hold a 66-million-year-old T-Rex femur.
Wow.
Pick it up, hold it, feel the weight of that. Imagine how big that animal is compared to how tiny we are.
Yeah.
And I think there's, you know, a certain fascination with finding out just as humanity of like how really small we really are in comparative, and how lucky we are to even be where we are as humanity compared to all these other creatures that have walked this planet before us.
Oh yeah.
And so, but back to your question, we're located, on the Sheridan College campus, in the Mohn Science Center. So it's just, south of the main Whitney building and right behind the National Guard Armory, there on the campus. We're open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 1. And that's, we're looking at extending hours. It's another reason to please come to the event, buy your tickets, come support with the silent auction items, live auction items, donations. Because we want to extend hours. We want to be able to make sure that this resource is available to the community whenever we can be available to them. Because we have, just this last few weeks, we've had robotics teams from the area schools that are competing come in and giving them help with what are some of the challenges we face. How could robots help with paleontology or archaeology?
Wow. And
these kids are amazing. The ideas they've had, I'm just floored. I mean, they're so cool. I'm like, they actually have one that I'm like, I'm going to build that because that's an awesome idea. And so it's being able to have those opportunities to let these kids participate in this. But even we're finding more that the parents come in with them. And now the parents sit down, like we have a station at the museum where you can actually look for fossils in ant gravel and find little pieces of ancient organisms that were living here. And you get to pick through it. And if you find it, you put it in a little box, you take it home with you. And we have parents come with their kids and they'll sit there for 2-3 hours and it's amazing.
Through. Yeah.
And it's such a resource to the college. It's such a resource to the community. And it was one of the things that we've talked about before on here is I was shocked at how many people here don't even know we exist.
Yeah.
And you know, that's my number one goal right now as the first director ever of the museum is get the word out, let the community know we're here. And come take advantage of us. That's what we're here for. We want you to come and touch the bones. We want you to come out on our digs with us. We want you to bring in your rocks and minerals. We just had a guy come in this week, brought in a bag full of meteorites that he's found.
Oh, incredible. He's like,
are these meteorites? I'm like, pretty sure they are, yeah. You know, and we scanned them with a piece of equipment that's non-destructive and told them what they were all made of, like how much iron's in this, how much nickel's in here. And, I mean, that's what we want to be. We want to be that resource. I mean, a lot like the Wild Room in the library here. If you have a question about rocks and geology and paleontology and ancient animals, come to the museum. We're the Wild Room for geology and natural history and that. And we want to be that resource and let the community know it's here.
When it comes to the programs that you're running, taking the kids out and digging up dinosaur bones, tell me about that. When did that begin?
I've been taking out kids for almost 15 years. That was my previous career. And then I started my nonprofit and that's a whole rabbit hole. We'll go down another day. The experience of taking a kid out on a dig or, you know, even anybody, cause I'll tell you the truth is when the adults come out, they turn into a 10-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And you're out there digging and they find something and, you know, they get it fully excavated and I look at them and say, all right, now pick it up. And they're like, oh, it's going to break. I'm not touching that, Tom. You're crazy. I'm like, no, just pick it up. And then they're holding it. And I look at them and go, you know, you're the first person that's ever held that. Just let that soak in for 1 minute.
65 million years old.
And even older, because the dig sites we have here outside of Buffalo, they're about 150, 155 million
Holy
years old.
Holy cow.
And so it's like, and then you look at them and go, you're the first person that's held it. And I don't care what's happened in your life before today. I don't care what happens after today. Nobody in the world will ever have this moment except you.
Yeah.
And there's so few things in this world that can be just yours anymore. And to be able to have that opportunity and then look at them and see that sense of accomplishment on their face of, I did this.
Yep.
And the confidence that comes to these kids after that. And then it's things like you look at them and go, you know, until you dug it up, it's never seen sunlight. See, because when this dinosaur died, it was covered in skin and muscle, and then it got buried. So these bones have never seen daylight until you dug it up and let them see sunshine for the first time in their life.
That's incredible.
And, you know, whether it's a kid or one of our veterans or the adults that come out, you can see it when you talk to them about it. And you can just see this look on their face of like, holy cow.
The light. I call that the light.
I mean, even when I talk about it to this day, I still get goosebumps when I tell it because it's, you know, that's how I got into it was I was not a paleontologist. I went on a dinosaur dig and dug something up and I was holding it. And it was such a surreal moment for me that I'm like, oh, I got to do this. This is awesome.
You found your calling.
Oh, you know, I did. And everyone else around me recognized it first. Like my, you know, 8 years ago, I came home from work and looked at my watch and said, I think I'm going to sell my business and go dig dinosaurs the rest of my life.
And that almost sounds absolutely unheard of, right?
You know, and this is how I know I married the perfect woman because, you know, she should have looked at me and said, you're crazy. There's no money. You're old. I mean, there's 100 reasons to not do it. But she looked at me. She goes, it's about time. She goes, you love taking the kids out. You love working on this stuff. Go. So, you know, I went back to college, got my degrees, and now I'm here.
That's fantastic, man.
So it's and I'm blessed. I mean, I never in my life would have dreamed of I get to wake up in Sheridan every day. I get to be part of this amazing community that I've never seen a community that shows up like this one.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what it is, this community shows up. I've been to chamber events. I've been down for, you know, third Thursdays and just seeing this community rally behind things that need help is unbelievable. And I'm so blessed and humbled to be able to be a little part of this and just really grateful for the opportunity to do this and to share my passion to hopefully, you know, impassion the next generation or even the current generation. I mean, I tell people every day that look at me and go, man, I wanted to be a paleontologist when I was a kid. I'm like, it's not too late.
Yeah, you can do it.
You can do this. I said, and we'll help.
And even if you don't want to, you know, can't do it professionally, don't want to do it professionally, you can go out on a dinosaur dig.
Absolutely.
How often do you actually run those digs?
We're going to be running more of them. It's a great question. The last few years, we usually get about 6 days a year that we can go out. We currently have a permit with the state to go out and explore on some state land south of Buffalo. Has a little bit of a restricted access issue, which is fine. And we're just grateful that we have a place to go dig. So we usually have 6 days of free digs, but we've fortunately got some recent landowners that have given us permission to come out doing stuff on private property.
Oh, fantastic.
So we're going to have the opportunity to open up more digs. And we're going to start offering some longer trips, like 4 day weekends. These will be some paid events to go to private ranches and dig on, you know, I mean, we have a ranch right now that's 40,000 acres and it's never been explored. And I went out and walked around and I was out there for 30 minutes and found dinosaurs falling out of the ground everywhere.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So now we got to go collect these things and put them in the museum. So yeah, there's gonna be a lot more opportunities for that coming. We're really excited, at what that gives us as a possibility for our programming between the kids digs and getting our veterans out. I mean, our keynote speaker is a retired lieutenant colonel. Has actually been in one of our vets' digs, and he's actually he's coming from Louisville, Kentucky, to come and speak and talk about his experiences. One in the military, a little bit about that, but more importantly, what it's meant to him from a mental health standpoint. Not only just being on the dig, but what's changed in his life since the dig, and how he's, you know, got a new focus on his mental health and making sure he's okay and making and doing what needs to be done and realizing that there's a lot of opportunities still. There's a lot of great stuff out here I haven't done yet.
Yeah.
So we're really excited to hear Stephen Davis, retired lieutenant colonel, come and talk. We got a local fifth grade student, Cash Hancock's coming to talk. He's one of the keynotes talking about what the museum means to him and how excited he is that he gets an opportunity to go dig and work in the fossil lab and put dinosaurs back together and put them out on display with his name on it. So we're just, you know, if you haven't gotten your tickets, go get your tickets, please. Again, remember our live auction. We've got that anonymous donor that's willing to match up to 10,000. So we need people to show up and bid on our auction items. And just really excited to share the museum and two brand new dinosaur exhibits that have never been here before that are going to be here now.
I think that's amazing. Yeah, you do have some entertainment showing up as well. Yes. Who's going to play for you?
You know, thank you so much. There's so much going on. I just like, but yeah, at the end of the night, when we're all done with everything, Sam and Tris Munsick are going to start playing music, and we're just going to have a good old-fashioned concert right inside the building and come listen to music, dance. It's an open bar, so, you know, enjoy some cocktails and great music. And I've heard them. They're amazing. I mean, what another great resource that Sheridan has that's just unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
World-class music right
the
here.
Talent right here.
It's
yeah.
unbelievable. I'm just blown away every time I turn around. It's like, oh, wow, that's here. Oh, wow. Oh, holy cow, that's really good. You know, so it was a challenge when it came down to picking the entertainment. It's like, who do you pick?
Yeah.
We got like 500 people here that are so qualified to do this.
Where can folks pick up the tickets?
You can pick up the tickets. You can stop by the museum and buy them there. We have some there. You can go online to the website at nhmofwyoming.org and just click on the gala and click on, we have some sponsorships available. So even if you're out there and you're interested in still getting a little sponsorship and a little more bang for your buck. So you can either click on the sponsorship or tickets tab on there and just process it all online. We're really lucky that we have a processor that takes no fees and nothing. So when you buy a $100 ticket, all $100 actually comes to the museum to help us with our programs.
Oh, that's great.
So yeah. Unlike a lot of places where it's like, oh, well, we're taking 5% for credit card processing. We're taking another 3% for processing. No, we get all the money to be able to keep it here in Sheridan and increase our programs and get more kids and vets out and add to our exhibits.
That's fantastic. Tom, I want to thank you so much for coming in this morning, partner. Your passion is infectious. Thank you.
No, thank you.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Building a strong financial future starts with knowing the basics.
That's why First Federal Bank and Trust partners with schools and organizations to bring financial literacy to life.
We offer free resources tailored to your group, interactive bank tours, hands-on materials, and real conversations with our banking professionals.
It's a smart, practical way to prepare the next generation.
Learn more or request a speaker at efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust.
Investing in strong financial futures.
This time of year, everything in Wyoming gets tested. Your patience with the wind, your brakes on the ice, and especially your roof. At Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors, we know Wyoming weather, and we make sure that your roof passes the test. Our metal roofing, impact-resistant shingles, and expert work keep your cold out and the comfort in. Working with insurance, we take the hassle out of your hands. Go with the name you know. Call Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors or visit us at Brandon307.com. Brandon 307, branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
Bricks and mortar, sticks and stone, a house is a house until you make it a home. Sandbox, hopscotch, yardstick on the wall, backyard soccer goal, laughter down the hall. This is Lisa Hansen with MC2 Realty. Don't settle for the first house that works. Let's find the one that's home. I'll put my years of experience and extensive knowledge of the local market to work for you. Buy or sell with confidence. Call me, Lisa Hansen, at 307-763-3964. And we'll start your home journey today.
Doug, it's the fourth quarter of the year. Are we still in the game?
You bet, Bob. Tire sales going into overtime. Buy three, get the fourth for a buck through November.
That's a winning drive.
New tires, great grip, winter traction, no fumbles here.
So whether you're tailgating or tackling snowdrifts,
you'll score big at Waring Chevrolet.
Touchdown tire sale, WaringSheridan.com.
Celebrate the 250th anniversary of the United States by designing a flag for your Sheridan County community. Sage Community Arts invites designs from each of the 14 cities and towns in the county. One design will be chosen from each to begin flying the first week of January. To enter, scan the QR code in this week's Country Bounty for a link with format information and to submit your design. This contest sponsored in part by Sage Community Arts and Sheridan Media.
Hi, this is Bill Handel, and you're listening to News Talk 930 KROE.